Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part two.
Hey everybody, I'm Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects.
Sean McIndoe from The Athletic.
Folks, I hate to do this. I hate to talk about the freaking Oilers again off the top of the show. But when a media guy calls one of the best players in the world pissy twice, you kind of got to talk about the damn Oilers.
Well, don't act like you don't want to talk. Everybody loves
of course, talking about the Oilers. Let's put it this way. Do I want to talk about the Oilers every week on this show? Not really. Story doesn't change that much, you know?
Yeah.
But
it's fun.
It sure is.
Like, the Oilers, like, who are the teams in the league that are the most fun when they're bad? Like, it's the Oilers, the Leafs. I mean, Montreal, kind of, but...
Yeah, you know, honestly, I did the, I did the Andrew Berkshire's like Habs post game show that he does on YouTube last night after they whomped on the Stars. We can talk about the Stars later. Oh boy, so like even they're kind of just like they're joker-fied a little bit about this, you know, like Montreal because they're just like, well, I mean, what can you say at this point?
Yep, I saw actually a. TikTok of all things that like that the Dangle Podcast Network put out, and it was just Andrew introducing like every podcast after a Habs loss all year and just like deteriorating in real time. Like early on you can still see the optimism, like you know, you can't win them all, and then he just it was quite entertaining. Probably not for him.
Yeah, I did one earlier this season where they lost in Seattle, and it was Seattle's first home win. And, like, there were questions coming from the listeners or viewers or whatever that were like, you know, with all the talent they have. And I was just like, all the what? What's up, dude? But, yeah, the other thing about that game last night, the Dallas Stars had 110 shot attempts in that game and lost, like, 5-3 or whatever.
That's
110.
That feels like a lot.
It's... I literally looked it up in the middle of the show because I was like, there's no way 110 like has had, and literally it is the most shot attempts one team has had in a game in the regular season since 2007-08.
And that is like unequivocally the best game of the last month or so for Montreal. Like that is
and they got historically bombed.
Yeah.
Like Dallas had, I think, 5 or 6 guys hit the post last night, too. That was the other fun thing. But anyway,
shots on Sam Montembeau, who is definitely a real guy that I had heard of before I just looked that up.
Former Florida Panther? You don't know Sam Montembeau? Come on now. But anyway, the Ottawa Senators. So the setup to the media and the players clashing is they freaking choked on Saturday. They blew it on Saturday.
And this was the game that had been, I think, rescheduled because they were supposed to play Ottawa earlier. Yep. And everybody was like, oh, this is the game that if they lose, Dave Tippett's getting fired. Because the Senators are once again that team that if you lose to them, you immediately start firing people. And they got a reprieve thanks to COVID scheduling. And this, then they go out and they... play actually well for two periods.
I watched that whole game. It was a really fun, good... I think that, like you said, I think they played very well, actually. But didn't get the bounces, which you kind of don't when you're playing your third-string goalie for, like, you know, the 7th time this year or however many games Stuart Skinner has played in.
Yeah. That's what made that game kind of a... I think even more depressing if you're an Oilers fan, because... I think with any young goalie, you're always kind of like, maybe, who knows?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Clearly, like, Mike Smith, you can't, doesn't feel like a great strategy to count on him to be healthy. Mikko Koskinen, whatever you think of him, is not having a good year. Maybe the guy comes up. We've seen it how many times, right? The guy comes up from the minors. He's a well-regarded young goalie.
Andrew Hammond. I mean, come on.
And sometimes it lasts and sometimes it doesn't, but you just kind of, it flips the season around and could still happen, but that was not the game you were looking for. And yeah, they fall apart. They lose 5-4, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Because
the Senators,
after being up 3-1.
Yeah. And then the Senators tie it, and then it's, the late goal.
And to not even get a point out of it, right? Yeah. Like that, ooh, that sucks.
So now it's a couple of days later, and Leon Draisaitl is facing the media, and he gets into it. Well, did he get into it with Jim Matheson, or did Jim Matheson get into it with him? First of all, who's the instigator here? Who gets the
extra? Viral clip is Matheson basically going, "So you're like really pissed off, right?" And he's like, "Or no, it start." I'm sorry. It starts off with, "You know, what do you think you guys are doing badly that you weren't doing badly before?" And he goes, "Kind of everything." And he's like, "Would you like to expand on?" And Matheson goes, "Would you like to expand on that?" And Draisaitl goes, not really. You seem to know everything, so you write it, you know? And then he says, "Why are you being so pissy?" And Leon's like, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "Why are you being so, or you're being pissy?" And he goes, "I'm not, actually. I'm answering the questions, but what, you know." But what that viral clip did not include was that Matheson asked two other questions before that. That was like, "You're pissed, right? You're fucking steamed up about all this. You're mad. You're furious." And Draisaitl being like, "Well, I mean, you know," and Matheson just kept pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah. Clearly this is, we've talked about this before. There are questions that you ask in the media where you genuinely want to know the answer. And then there's questions where you kind of have your story mostly written, and you're looking for sound bites that will, and quotes that will fit into that. And this feels like the latter, which is fine. It's not an unreasonable, you know, questions to ask. And I didn't think, you know, like, "Hey, everything's going bad. What's going the worst?" is not an unreasonable question, but also, you know, saying "yeah, everything's going bad" is not an unreasonable answer. And when he asks him, "Do you want to expand on that?" Okay, you know, try to get a little more out of him. But when he says no to that, then that's kind of it. I just
found the full transcript before that. And he goes, "Leon, what's your level of anger at how things are going right now? I know you're frustrated with where you were at the beginning of the season compared to where you are now. Are you angry as well as frustrated?" "Yeah, I mean, of course it's frustrating. Like I said, we're not here, or we're not where we want to be. Anger, I don't know if I would call it anger, it's more frustration, but that's obviously something you have to put behind yourself and go back to work. Do you think the last 2 years you've been second in the division and you've shown a lot of maturity, but now you've lost 6 in a row twice, did you think your team was past that, not getting into those long losing streaks?" "Sure, yeah." And then the other stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, up till that point, I don't think there's anything especially wrong with the exchange. And Jim Matheson, for people who don't know, is a veteran writer in Edmonton, seems very well respected by his peers. He's one of those older guys who has committed the unpardonable sin of not being very good on Twitter, which means a lot of fans think he's bad at his job. I don't necessarily know that that's the case. But
sure.
it's not, I don't think, I mean, it's not a great look for either of them, but
I think Draisaitl comes off better.
What's that?
Right. I think Draisaitl comes off better because he's just like, "Look, man, you pushed me. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you."
Yeah. And that's,
and so the other context around all that is, Now the Edmonton media is pissed off that they're losing. Like, that's one of the things you have to say is when the Oilers are bad, the Edmonton media takes it personally, right? And I think it was Ryan Rashog was like, they're just not trying. Nobody wants to work hard. They're just accepting every goal against, which that kind of just, thing.
Yeah, the same thing. Goldfish we hear brain all shit. The time, yeah, right? It's just it's all about effort. The team's great. The strategy is great. Everyone's good enough. They just need to try harder, and then it's...
we're on year 12 of not getting enough trying. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And then the other one was there were people legitimately blaming, like, oh, Stuart Skinner had an opportunity and he blew it tonight. That kind of thing. And it's like, again, he's like a 22, 23-year-old goalie. He's probably not, like, you know, a world-beating kind of a goalie that everybody wants every, like you said, wants every young goalie coming into the league to be. And that's not his fault, especially given the defense in front of him. You know, like, are we not allowed to say that that defense sucks? Mm-hmm. Or at least is not built to lock things down at the end of a game. They're a defense that's built to facilitate the offense, let's say. And does that maybe not work with Dave Tippett's preferred style of playing the game? Well, you know, maybe a GM should have checked on that before the season started.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I thought, again, this is one of those hockey things, and we've talked about this before, where it feels like it happens and you have to do one of two things. You either have to pull out your fainting couch for Jim Matheson and how terrible it is that this Hall of Fame writer was
not really in the Hall of Fame. You know, that's a different.
Yeah. But you know, you have to either do that or you have to act like Leon Draisaitl. It was the greatest thing in the world. Oh, this was so watch as Leon Draisaitl decimates the whatever. I mean, I didn't think either of them looked great. I do think,
correct,
you know, yeah, like Thomas Durant's had a take on it where, you know, he made several points and I agreed with all of them except one, which is where he said that he said something along the lines of players don't owe the media politeness. I think they do, just in the sense that I think
you kind of owe everybody politeness,
exactly,
right?
When you're talking to somebody and, you know, people are just doing their jobs, you should, you know, there's a basic level of, even if you're frustrated with somebody, that you don't have to, you know, and this applies to both of these guys, you don't have to try to embarrass them in front of their peers or whatever else. But I think the fact that this was question number four does maybe tilt it a little bit towards Draisaitl, where you say, like, okay, like, at some point, you also have to read the room a little bit and see where you're just not going to get the answer you're looking for. And but there yeah, may be... In fact, I would assume there is probably some history here beyond just that.
Probably
that exchange.
The other thing is though that, like, you know, McDavid and Cassian after the game, so you know temperatures are a little hotter, I guess you would say, but they were both similarly, I don't want to say dismissive necessarily, but like, I wish I knew what to tell you, I think is the exact Connor McDavid quote, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it maybe if you give that answer 2-3 days later, people are like, what the fuck, like, give me something to work with here. But, like, doesn't all of this tell you everything about where this team's headed? Like, both the stars are clearly pissed off, not only with how things are going, but with, like, the media and everything else that's going on around them. Mm-hmm. And
as they should be.
Of course. You know, at some point, you got the question must be asked, what happens if the Oilers miss the playoffs? Which right now, I'm going to pull up the standings here, but like there's like two or three teams in front of them for, crazy. One, two. There are three teams between them and the last playoff spot, and obviously that doesn't account for points percentage and all that kind of thing. But
even for points percentage, they're
it's not great.
They're out right now. So
yes, correct. Yep.
Yeah, it's. What if they miss the playoffs? I think there has to be a total house cleaning.
Yes,
I can't imagine. I mean, I certainly can't imagine Dave Tippett keeping his job. And then you just start going
no,
the
no,
chain.
No, yeah.
you know, does Ken Holland lose his job?
He should. If they miss, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, but he's also the highest paid GM in the league, according to some reports, with multiple years left. So maybe that buys him time. If he goes, does Bob Nicholson go, who has been the president of this team for years of this, and was the guy who hired Ken Holland? I've seen a lot from Oilers fans that they want high level changes. I haven't seen too many Oilers fans who strike me as particularly passionate one way or another about Dave Tippett. I've seen lots of them taking aim at Ken Holland and lots of them taking aim at Bob Nicholson. And look, I mean, the thing with Ken Holland is he's never fired a coach. Let's start there. Correct. Like somehow in all the decades, he has never fired a coach. He has had one coach, Scotty Bowman, retire. He's had two coaches leave at the end of their contract, which with Mike Babcock and Dave Lewis, and certainly with Lewis, it was a de facto firing, but he didn't. Contracts expired, and Tippett's contract expires at the end of the year. So the playbook here is he leaves it, get to the end of the year, and then you move on. We've already, you know, we're already starting to hear that familiar song and dance from GM friendly media, where it's talking about how hard it is to make trades.
It sure is.
Yeah, it's and you know, they're doing their scouting meetings this week, so you know, no imminent changes. We know that they're interested in Evander Kane. I think a lot of us assume that's going to happen, but now we have to potentially wait, see what the league rules, if they're going to suspend him again. Other than that, I don't know, man. Like, you make $5 million a year, reportedly, which is
more than just about every GM. That's a lot of cash.
So, and I made this point, I've made it before in other places. I wrote a thing today, I didn't include it in the piece, but we're talking about it in the comment section, where it's like, look, I acknowledge that it is hard to make trades in the middle of the year. It's hard to significantly change your roster. That's off-season stuff, and it's difficult to do during the year. I don't think GMs who say that are wrong, but it's the only job in the entire NHL that you're allowed to say is too hard. Like, nobody else gets to do that. Dave Tippett doesn't get to sit there and go, you know what, like, yeah, maybe our strategy wasn't the right one tonight, maybe we weren't ready to play, maybe I didn't have the X's and O's, but those things are really tough. It's really hard. Like, if he said that, a little cane would come out and hook him off.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Like, if Mikko Koskinen gets up there and they're like, hey, man, you gave up 5 goals again tonight. And he's like, the shooters are really good in this league. Like,
you're not going to believe it.
Yeah. Like, these guys are really fast and they really shoot the puck hard.
Have you seen this Drake Batherson kid? He's unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't be expected to be making a bunch of timely saves all the time. It's just too hard. He would be off the team that night. And yet GMs are allowed to just go like, the cap makes my job hard, and we're all supposed to go, oh, okay, well then don't worry about it. That's
Yeah, and I mean, especially because, you know, the answer here, or one of the answers, obviously there are multiple problems with this Oilers roster, but the number one problem, and who could have seen it coming, was that a Mikko Koskinen and 58-year-old Mike Smith, that ain't working for some reason. Yep. Wow, crazy. Oh, if only Mike Smith was healthy. Well, he's older than me. So, you know, like, I feel bad every morning waking up, like, just physically. My body's a mess, you know? Uh-huh. And like, now let's imagine I'm a guy who's, like, going to stop pucks for a living. No thanks.
Yeah.
So no kidding Mike Smith's hurt all the time. And even if he wasn't hurt all the time, he hasn't been good this year. So, you know, again, like...
And the Oilers have been trying, and Ken Holland has been trying to upgrade the goaltending for the last 2 years. Like, they thought they had Markstrom.
Yeah.
There have been other... he hasn't done it. And now...
Again, Sean, it's so hard to get a goalie in the offseason. You can't get a goalie in the offseason. You can't get a goalie in the season. Maybe you try during the playoffs. That's the only time that it might be easy to pull
off. It's not like, you know, it's... I mean, hey, it's not like... reigning Vezina winners are just available the following season from rebuilding teams. That would never happen. So
no.
I don't know.
Well, like, it can't happen if you go out and you trade for a guy like a Duncan Keith.
That's,
you know, one of those really high end leadership guys. That,
right?
Yeah,
like
that's right.
Clearly. Oh my God. It's
a mess.
It is a mess. And you know, there's no depth and there's no, the blue line's an issue and some of that you can fix and some of it you can't. But the thing that blows me away is this, in, you know, again, this, well, I think in this case, it actually was from kind of Ken Holland's own mouth where he was saying like, we're not going to move the first round pick this year. They don't want to, you know.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do it for a pure rental. I understand that impulse, certainly, but also
ever
it's
a team
like
that should.
That's exactly right.
Because
you just don't want to.
You're wasting the prime of the best player in the league,
right,
and another guy who's, you know, at a minimum top five and maybe number two in the entire league, and not only wasting their prime, but I mean. I know this is, every Oilers fan is going to roll their eyes in the back of their head when I say this, because everybody's been trying to get Connor McDavid out of Edmonton since literally the moment they won the draft lottery. Everyone's been like freeze framing every thing he says to try to look for the, you know, oh, he looks kind of sad there. And I get that most of that's been nonsense, but like his frustration level has to be huge right now. Like if I'm Ken Holland, that's the first call I'm making every day is to like Connor McDavid's agent. Like, how's he doing? What's the temperature check? Because, you know, at some point you got to think there's an off-season phone call saying either I'm out or, you know what, he's getting very frustrated. And then now you're dealing from a position of weakness because everybody knows you've got to keep this guy happy. Like, what are we waiting for here? What?
Look, I don't disagree with you. Like I said, I get the impulse to be like, we're not going to trade our best prospects for a guy who's going to be here for 3 months. And, you know, again, at this point, maybe doesn't even help him get into the playoffs. Honestly, you know?
Maybe.
But with that having been said, Edmonton's farm system stinks. They have like a couple of guys who are you know, going to be legitimate NHLers, but like, I don't think that they have anybody where it's like, that is a future difference maker, you know, but
yeah, well, this is what happens when you only ever hit on top five picks. It's
right.
Not-
no, absolutely. And then, but so this is the other funny thing. So they played on Saturday after not playing for quite a while. And then they have another huge layoff. They play on Thursday, so that tomorrow is we record this, and they are hosting the Florida Panthers,
right,
who are, you know, up until last night were averaging 6 goals a game over their previous 9 games, which is a lot. And I was like, well, look, you know, they're going to play the Panthers are going to play the Flames first, and maybe that softens them up a little bit, but they got killed last night. They got run out of the building. 5-1 the final in Calgary. And it's like, oh, now the Edmonton Oilers have to play a pissed off Florida Panthers?
Yep.
Ooh, I don't like that for them.
That could be bad. Because I looked at that, and I'm sure lots of people did this, where you kind of looked at how bad it was going at Edmonton and how unstoppable the Panthers looked. And you're like, oh, I mean, Edmonton's clearly winning that game. Like
100%.
Mikko Koskinen shutout. This is how the NHL works. But now I don't know. Maybe this.
Yeah, 4-0. But now they're going to be really upset because not only did they lose, like it's not like they lost in a shootout or anything like that. They got killed by a team that, much like the Edmonton Oilers, kind of struggling a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you can't look. Not everybody can do what the Ottawa Senators did and just run through Alberta like it's no, like it's not even there.
Yeah,
you know?
The juggernaut.
But yeah, the other big Canadian team news this week is the Montreal Canadiens hire player agent Kent Hughes as their new general manager. What's the take on this, Sean? What do you think?
Well, it was sort of interesting how it played out, because his name came up initially when the vacancy was there. But then he apparently wasn't interviewed in the first round. At least that's
he got
that's
a bye.
What was reported? He got a first round bye, and then he. It swooped in last week, and apparently the offer was made by the weekend, and then he had to figure out if he wanted to take it, because when you're an agent, you know, he's making good money. This isn't like an assistant GM somewhere, and this is an obvious move up.
Plus this summer he would have been about to make commission on new deals for both Chris Letang and Patrice Bergeron, which is a bunch more money.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chris. Two guys with French-sounding names who...
Yeah, so that is the thing, is he is a Montreal/Boston guy, Kent Hughes.
Does speak French.
He speaks French. He grew up in Montreal, but I believe he's a Boston guy now. And it is funny
He was
a
Boston guy 2 days ago, but he...
That's right.
Not anymore.
It is funny that two Boston guys are now running the Montreal Canadiens, like unequivocally two Boston guys. But his kids play for Northeastern, which is in Boston. One of them, the younger one, Jack, is draft eligible this year. He's probably going to be a first round pick.
Jack Hughes was drafted like 3 years ago. You've got to update your.
The number of times I've gone to a Northeastern game and had to like triple check the line charts just to make sure. No, that right. I forgot. But the fact, you know, he plays on a line with his brother. Who is a Rangers 6th or 7th rounder, if I'm not mistaken, which drafted by Jeff Gorton. Are we seeing a pattern here, folks? And also the Canadiens have two draft picks who are on the Montreal or who were drafted by Montreal in Northeastern. So, yeah, there's a lot of connections there. And anyway, the question is, do you think this signals they're fully committed to a teardown rebuild? Because I think it does.
I think typically when you bring in new people, like at the top of an organization, that's usually what it means. Not always. Obviously, you look at what the Rangers did, pushing Gorton out. That was not a reset. But when a team is bad, they've got I was going to say blank check. That's the wrong term, but they've got a window here where they'll have some credibility with the market. And clearly, this is what this team needs. I mean, this is not a team where you go, yeah, you know, we get Carey Price back, we can be good again. But then it becomes how big a teardown are we talking? Are we moving Carey Price? Are we moving Brendan Gallagher? Are we moving any other good players on the team if there were any? But yeah, I think it signals that it's time for a teardown. And by the way, I don't mind the hiring. Like I like
no,
the
yeah, idea fine. Of That's fine.
Having Jeff Gorton, who I've got a ton of time for, I think is an excellent NHL GM. Hiring him as not a GM, but as, you know, kind of a GM, and then bringing in somebody who doesn't have that direct experience to learn along with Jeff Gorton, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, there's a pretty good track record of player agents coming in as stepping into front office and doing pretty well. So this isn't bad for Montreal, but
so
there's a lot of work to do.
So there are a couple things here about that. There's only been one other agent signed directly from being an agent in the cap era. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Mike Gillis is the only guy who a little before that, Mike Barnett from the Coyotes was, and that's like early 2000s.
Right.
He also. Yes, and he also had been just an agent before that, had no front office experience.
What about Pierre Lacroix? Did he go straight from...
I don't think so. I think...
Because there have been guys, like Kyle Dubas was an agent at one point, but he slid into front office It wasn't. Right. You're right. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, because, what's his name? Bill Zito is another guy who went from an agent to AGM in Columbus to, and now he's obviously a GM, but there was a few years in the middle there, where obviously he wasn't, he was like learning at the table or whatever you want to say. So,
and that's kind of what's happening here, even though.
Hughes
gets the GM title, which maybe was part of what helped entice him to come over, is that he's getting the title, even though I don't know, org chart wise, who gets the final say, I guess will be a question, but I think we all expect Jeff Gorton to have a very heavy hand on the wheel here, as he should.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, this is the question I have then. So we're talking about a team that, let's say, hasn't turned all the talent they've drafted into what people thought that talent could be.
I think.
Let's say.
That's a kind way to put it, yes.
Right. Does that not also describe the New York Rangers under Jeff Gorton?
Yeah.
And this is, and here's the thing, right? Toronto, just to compare the to bring a third ultra rich team into the mix here, right? Mm-hmm. Toronto has invested heavily in that side of things and turned a lot of guys who are, you know, hey, that he's an okay player, sure, into legitimate NHLers. Okay. And whatever you want to say about, you know, obviously they haven't picked as high as the Canadiens or the Rangers, like Marner and Matthews aside, and even Marner, what was he, 11th?
He was fourth.
He was fourth, okay, yeah. So, yeah. But the point is, Toronto invests heavily in these things and regularly turns so-so prospects into NHLers. Hmm. The Rangers and the Canadiens in recent years seemingly haven't invested all that heavily in it and have regularly turned high-end picks into okay NHLers, you know, and like guys have left the organization before anybody would have said that was going to happen. Kotkaniemi, of course, Elias Anderson, and Vitali Kravtsov, obviously, asked for a trade. Galchenyuk's another guy. That's a little longer ago, obviously, but the point is, now is the time for the Montreal Canadiens to be like, we're gonna invest $1 billion into our amateur scouting and development teams.
Yep, that makes sense. And then sign Chris Letang in the offseason.
That's right. And you're right back where you want to be. You know, one of the quotes I think yesterday was from Tyler Toffoli being like, I want to be part of the solution here. But, you know, you got to trade Tyler Toffoli. You got to trade everybody who doesn't have trade protection.
You would think. You would
what's the point?
Gain those, get those assets, and just, you know, for the record, Chris Letang is a Montreal guy.
Yes,
Patrice Bergeron is not. But how funny would it be? As an outsider, that's the move we all want to see, right? Patrice Bergeron just signing with Montreal, and just every Bruins fan tweeting out pictures of swords in backs and burning uniforms and that would be fantastic.
The thing to say about that, of course, is that Patrice Bergeron grew up as a fan of the Nordiques and not the Canadiens, because he's from Quebec City or just outside it, I want to say, and also therefore grew up hating the Montreal Canadiens. That's, so
which. It probably hasn't lessened very much in his.
No, yeah, and you know, on that Hab show last night, Berkshire was like, well, you know, after the Nordiques left, and they left when Bergeron was like 10 or 11, a lot of Nordiques fans just defaulted to being Canadiens fans, and it's like, so you're saying like the first 10 years or 11 years of Patrice Bergeron's life, he hated the Habs.
Than the first 10 years and the last 18.
Right, and so, but you're saying, you know what, that like 6 years right in the middle between when the Nordiques left and the Bruins drafted him, that really cemented it, where he's like, I've always dreamed of being a Montreal Canadien. Okay.
That would be the
best. You say so.
That would be so funny to see.
Yeah, it would rock.
I mean, this is like Chris Nyland switching sides times 20.
Yeah, let's put it this way. The FBI would be opening some files on some Boston guys after the Bergeron news.
For sure.
That's for sure. So I don't know. Like the good thing to say about this, if you're Kent Hughes or if you're Jeff Gorton, is if you've convinced Jeff Molson, we can do a tear it down rebuild, you're like, we're not going anywhere for 5 years easy. Just cashing those checks.
Yep.
No pressure.
That's it. It is.
Why would you do anything else?
It is a crucially important job for a front office to recognize and execute on a teardown and a rebuild. It's something that many teams absolutely need to do. It is also the easiest thing that a GM can do because it's easy to move guys out. It's the turning it around that gets tough, but you buy yourself probably not 5 years anymore, but at least 2 or 3 years of saying like, hey guys, this is the plan. You know, this is what we all said we were going to do. You all bought in. Even in Montreal, I think there would be an understanding of that. So I think that's certainly what I would do. But the other piece of this is, the owner is apparently involved in the hiring. Maybe that's something, you know, maybe guys, the Danny Briere's and that were coming in saying, yeah, we do a rebuild. And Hughes was the one guy who said, no, I think we can turn this around. And the owner decided that's what he wanted to hear. Hard to say.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. The presser is in like an hour or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, as is Puck Soup tradition, not the greatest timing in the world.
Exactly. Yeah, you will all know the answers to this by the time you hear this. But well,
that's life. It's no secret we all want to look our best this winter, right? Mack Weldon is the expert when it comes to essential clothing that's perfect for the cold. Whether you need a legit warm shirt or are looking to upgrade your sweats collection, Mack Weldon has exactly what you're looking for. And if that's not convenient enough, let me tell you about Mack Weldon's daily wear system. All the clothes work together, for real. So whether you're headed to work, going for a run, or just hanging on the couch, getting dressed takes no effort at all. If you're like me, you love the feel of warm clothes, but absolutely hate to sweat. Mack Weldon's warm knit collection uses my body temperature to keep me warm without the weight. It's almost as if this was made just for me. So check out Mack Weldon for yourself and save 20% on your first order. Visit macweldon.com/pucksoup and enter the promo code PUCKSOUP. Again, that's macweldon.com/pucksoup and the promo code PUCKSOUP for 20% off. Find your perfect look this winter. The other big piece of like league-wide news that came out this week, All-Star rosters got announced, at least initially. I know, obviously, there are like last man in votes that are still happening and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
And guys furiously trying to figure out how they're going to get out of going. Although
that's
it's
right.
In Vegas, so maybe they won't, but it's also
maybe,
in
yeah, maybe.
COVID times. So
yeah, that aspect of it is interesting. Insofar as it really seems like, you know, from what has been reported, it seems like the NHL already asked a bunch of guys and they were all like, no thanks.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that's even awesome. Before you get to the whole, you know, they left off this guy, they left off that guy. It does seem like some guys begged out for whatever reason.
Right.
And the league, maybe due to COVID, was a little more flexible about granting them that, that option.
Yeah. And we all know that, you know, generally speaking, if you decline to go to the All-Star game, there can be a suspension or you have to miss a game. Although I wonder if this year you can just say you got the sniffles and suddenly it's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, no, like, for example, everybody took note of the fact that Sidney Crosby is not an All-Star.
Right.
And not a last man in option, if I'm not much mistaken. And it's like, you don't think they asked Sidney Crosby if he wanted to go to the All-Star game? Yep. And he was just like, not really. And they were like, okay, have a good one, Sid. Thank you.
Yep. And, you know,
thanks
especially
for taking our call.
Given that he's missed time this season, it wasn't, you know, it's not as outrageous. And, I mean, part of this is part of the whole reason you do an All-Star game is so we can argue over guys who got snubbed.
Right.
And that's fine. That's fun. Where do you come down on the whole take one guy from each team thing that Nathan MacKinnon, among others, talking about?
I get it. I get why, obviously, they do it. Like, you want Arizona Coyotes fans to be like, oh, hell yeah, it's my friend, it's Clayton Keller. Wow, I love Clayton Keller. He's my, like, third favorite Coyote, and maybe my first favorite who's not going to get traded in the next month. This is very exciting for me. I get all that, but also at the same time, yeah, just, like, invite the guys who are better. Like, I don't need a guy from Chicago this year. I don't need Clayton Keller. I don't need Jordan Eberle. You know, like, yep. I totally get why they do it, but who cares?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at, I think, in the sense that I would prefer that they get rid of the one per team requirement. But I also get why it's there. You know, I've had a few people say to me over the last week or so, like, look, this game is for kids, basically. And it's, well, I mean, the game is for the corporate partners more than anything.
Correct.
But they don't care.
So you can get a signed Alex Ovechkin All-Star jersey, all that shit. Yeah.
And other than that, it's for kids. I mean, if there was ever any competitive integrity to the All-Star game, it's been long, long, long ago. Like, ever since the players decided to stop trying about 20 or 25 years ago, the All-Star game has sucked every year and will continue to. And so in that sense, you know, the fact that Nick Suzuki is there and Brad Marchand isn't, who cares? It's just a chance to sell some jerseys and, you know, increase the profile of some guys. I did like the quote from the NHL saying that they're not they're not picking guys based on, like, entertainment or marketing, which is like, yeah, good job.
You wouldn't want to get into that business if you were the NHL.
Wouldn't want to be marketing your All-Star game at all. But I mean, look, I think it would be better if you drop the one per team requirement. Maybe say to, you know, when you're picking the teams, go, hey, you know, in the case of if it's two guys, it's a coin flip, pick the guy from the team that isn't represented. I'm not in favor of expanding the rosters. That's something I've seen a few people say, like, oh,
yeah, how many fucking guys are exactly All-Stars at that point?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is the whole, you know, yeah, it's the NHL. You get points for losing and everyone's second line center is an All-Star somehow.
Right.
The other thing you could do is with the skills competition, you could say, we'll invite some guys to the skills competition that aren't going to play in the All-Star game. And that's how so you're not, you know, Nick Suzuki, you're not an All-Star, but you can come be in the fastest skater. And so Montreal fans have a reason to.
Yeah. And well, you know, again, you'll get to have a good time in Vegas. And it seems like the, you know, based on what people are saying, obviously, like, this has been a big topic of conversation on 32 Thoughts of late, of like, well, Trevor Zegras will get invited to do something at the skills competition because we couldn't justify having more than one duck on the Pacific roster. Fair enough. You know, obviously, makes perfect sense. But also, we needed a goalie, so we had to get John Gibson in there. Because who else from the Pacific is going to be the goalie?
Yep.
If it's once you get past Demko, because you need someone from Vancouver.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mikko Koskinen, not available. So.
Right. And obviously the answer there would be Lehner, but you already have two Vegas guys, Stone and Petrangelo. So, like, where you're going to have three.
Markstrom, but then you lose. But again, this is, where you get into the whole, if we didn't have to have a Seattle guy.
Right.
Then that frees up a spot. But although, I don't know, maybe a first-year expansion team, you'd want to have someone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it should be pick the 11 best guys in each division, regardless of team, mm-hmm. I can't summon up a lot of, you know, a lot the of only, rage on this because the All-Star game sucks.
Yeah, of course. The only thing that I did think was very funny about all this is that the guy who is fifth in the league in scoring, Nazem Kadri, and he's like, yeah, fifth, right? Fifth, yeah. He clearly didn't get asked. It wasn't a situation where, like, if you're, say, Nikita Kucherov, and you're like, oh, you know, I'm not fucking going to that shit or whatever, you know? Like, he clearly was like, oh, yeah, nobody asked me, because that's why his teammates were pissed off, you know? Yep. That's funny. You can't take that away from him. But
that is good. It is also fun always to look down the list of All-Stars and kind of see, because they tell you, like, how many times they've been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many times you've been to a midseason All-Star game is meaningless because of injuries, because of the one per team, because some guys don't want to go. This is why whenever I'm talking about Hall of Fame or whatever, I always talk about the postseason, like the first team, second team All-Stars, not midseason. But it is still interesting to see, like, this, like, Mark Stone, first All-Star game. Huh, okay. He's been to fewer All-Star games than Jordan Eberle, apparently. Or Tristan Jari. That's interesting.
Right.
You know, Austin Matthews.
Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. Austin Matthews has been to more All-Star games than Patrice Bergeron. Okay. That strikes me as a little odd. And Dylan Larkin's going back for the second time. So, you know, maybe we can figure out a new way for him to cheat in the fastest skater competition. Just shoot
he
him out of,
shot
a
out of a cannon. Yeah.
Let him skate downhill or something like that.
He gets he gets that big slingshot that they have when you're doing the bowling on inner tubes.
Exactly. It'll be
why not? Fine. That'll be fun.
Who cares?
Yeah. Who cares, I think, is the exact right attitude to take about the All-Star game. I can't imagine getting worked up about this kind of thing. Like again, even if you're like, oh, Igor Shesterkin should be a goalie for the Metro. And it's like, oh yeah, one thing I definitely want is my guy going there and like blowing out a hamstring.
Sure.
Doing the like lateral movement competition or whatever. Like keep your guys home. Same thing with the Olympics. Oh, you know what I want is actually my guy's like home wrapped in bubble wrap.
Yeah, catching whatever new COVID variant is.
That's right. Yeah, the Vegas COVID variant.
Yeah.
Yeah. The another thing is Willie O'Ree got his jersey retired by the Boston Bruins. You know, a long time coming, obviously, further extended by this pandemic thing you might have heard about. And he even couldn't be there
last night because of that. That was too bad that he didn't get like the full experience, although it has taken
what are you gonna do,
so long,
you know?
To do it that, yeah, it's you kind of don't want to keep delaying. But, yeah, it's great to see.
I do have just one question about this, honestly. Like, there's nothing. It's just nice that this happened, right? Mm-hmm. That Willie O'Ree got his jersey retired and everybody got to say, we love Willie O'Ree. Why isn't his jersey retired league-wide?
You could. I mean, that's...
There's no reason not to do it, right? Let's put it this way. Major League Baseball did it with Jackie Robinson. When did they do that with Jackie Robinson? That was a million years ago.
Yeah, it's been a little while at least. I mean, the argument...
1997,
such as it is,
they did that.
Yeah, so... they did it in 1997. That's a long time ago. You know, obviously, also
25
a long
years.
Time after... Jackie Robinson was no longer playing, but the precedent's there. I mean, the argument would be, such as it is, that Jackie Robinson, in addition to breaking the color barrier, was
the best player in Major League Baseball at age 35.
One of the greatest of all time, you know, first ballot. You don't even have to consider his influence to put him in the Hall of Fame, whereas Willie O'Ree played two games the year that he broke the NHL color barrier for black players and played like a half season other than that.
Right. I get that, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, if I woke up to the news that they were retiring league-wide, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't object to that. Right now, the only player who's received that honor is Wayne Gretzky, and there's a certain, you know, certain appropriateness to him being the only one, I guess. But no, you could make the O'Ree case. Absolutely. I mean, I was banging the drum for Willie O'Ree in the Hall of Fame for years before.
Yeah, of course.
To the great shame of the Hockey Hall of Fame that it took them that long. To get
which
him
is
in.
Why I call it the Hockey Hall of Shame. Everybody, ooh, like, good yeah, one. He did it. He got their asses.
Trademark that one.
But like, so that is kind of the thing with this is that, like you said, Gretzky's number is retired league wide just for being good at hockey. It seems like really, yeah. really like historically good at hockey.
Well, and also
Southern expansion. Yeah, yeah, sure. All that making it a truly national game on mm-hmm. some level. Sure. Absolutely, get all of that, but I would say that is less historically meaningful than breaking the color barrier.
Yeah, here's the other argument that, or not an argument. Here's the other difference between between Willie O'Ree and Jackie Robinson, and this is not at all a knock on Willie O'Ree. This is a knock on the NHL and. You know, everyone involved in it. Jackie Robinson breaks the color barrier in baseball, and slowly but surely, black players almost immediately follow. You know, you got Larry Doby and others, and mm-hmm. within a few sure. years afterwards. Whereas this is a piece of the Willie O'Ree story that a lot of people don't necessarily know is he breaks the color barrier in the 50s. Plays his last season in 1960, and there is not a second black player in the NHL for another 15 years or so until Mike Marcin of the Capitals. So, you know, the color barrier in the NHL was broken, but then it got put back
but
up.
But not
again.
Really, yeah, sure.
And, you know, that's a part of the story that, you know, it has to be told. You know, we can't just all pat ourselves on the oh, you know, good old Willie O'Ree, and then
we fixed it. You know, yeah, of course.
That is no knock on him and his influence and you know and everything like that. Because the other thing with Willie O'Ree is not only did he do this, but and then for a long time was sort of not forgotten, but not recognized in hockey history as well as he should. But as that started to be fixed. He's been out there, like he's been an advocate for the game.
Hustling, he's been an
ambassador. Yes, fantastic. I mean,
the guy's 85 years old and he's still doing like
he's
you know,
doing
as
more
much
to market
touring.
Hockey than 90% of today's that's right, stars yeah. do. Like he's absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole Hall of Fame thing again because I'll just get angry about it that it took that yeah. long. And then when he finally got in, they put him in with Gary Bettman so that Bettman got the spotlight, and it was. So brutal. But yeah, let's I wouldn't be adverse to it. And, you know, in the meantime, let's get Herb Carnegie in the Hall of Fame. Let's get, you know, some other guys in there. If they wanted to do it league wide, I certainly wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah, especially, and this is the other thing about retiring Gretzky's number, right, is like nobody wears 99.
Yep.
And likewise. If you're that worried about it or whatever, not a lot of guys out there are wearing 22. You know, like
there's been more than 99. Like no, it was sure. a great honor for Gretzky, but nobody else was gonna. It's not like anyone was getting ready to wear that number. I wouldn't think, but
yeah, I'm gonna look up what guys right now in the league today are wearing the number 22.
Yeah, the only two guys. Who have the number 22 retired are Mike Bossy and Daniel Sedin.
Yeah. So there are actually, there are 19 players wearing 22 who have played at least one game in the league this year. Most notably, I guess you would say, is maybe Kevin Shattenkirk or Kevin Fiala. If you're a guy named Kevin, you're a big 22 guy, I guess. Tyson Barry, Jake Bean, Brett Pesce, Johan Larson, Cole Caulfield, And, you know, you can do the thing where you kind of grandfather everybody in like they did with Mariano Rivera or whatever. If you're wearing it now, you can keep wearing it for as long as you want to play. Or you can not if you don't want to.
None of these guys are Mariano Rivera who was the other one? David Ortiz, I think. Was he 42?
No, he's 34, not 42. Oh,
okay. All right.
Never mind. Yeah, there were a couple guys at first, and then Rivera ended up being the last one.
I'm a little surprised there's no black players wearing 22. Right now, that would be interesting, but it certainly wouldn't be to do it. Wouldn't be disruptive. Not that that would be a reason not to do it, but yeah, I'm with you on this.
Yeah, this is a fucking easy one. This is free. This is free PR advice from us to you. Just do it. It's fine.
Yep.
Everybody be like, okay, that's fair enough. Again, I'm not super married to this Chase Prisky number 22 jersey I bought. That's fine. Whatever. Yep. I think like we said, long time coming for the Bruins, long time coming for the Hall of Fame, and you know, 5-10 years from now, we might be going, boy, why haven't they done that yet? Especially like you know, you hate to say this, but like he's 80 something years old. Yep. Doesn't have that long left. Let's get it done now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, do it now or don't. Don't do it 10 years from now and don't do it.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Easy decision, I think.
I'm still so pissed about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. This, again, like, you know, we talk about it all the time. This league will fuck up a free lunch at the slightest provocation, right? And that extent, even though, again, the Hockey Hall of Fame is not the NHL Hall of Fame, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, you're legally obligated to say it. The Hockey Hall of Fame hates a free lunch and will fuck it up on purpose. You know, Pat Burns and all that shit. So
this, I tell you, this is one of those things where it's like, the fact it's probably a good thing that the complete lack of transparency, because I don't know what would be worse, to find out that Willie O'Ree wasn't discussed for two decades or that he was and
they were saying
there were like six guys who were like
good, thank you. We love the sport, folks, don't we? It's so good. Everybody is just on their best behavior at all times and making all the right decisions. So,
all right, gang, my turn on the pre-recorded ad read. And our partner this week is Athletic Greens. And to give you an update, if you heard my ad read a few weeks ago, still have not been able to get near it. My health-conscious wife is still monopolizing our sample shipment and still raving about it. She is a huge fan. I am considering I may at some point this week try to sneak over and get in on the supply, but that will be risky because she is a very, very big fan. So what is Athletic Greens? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This is a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all the things. It is a lifestyle-friendly product, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It's also less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, all of that stuff. And it all costs you less than $3 a day, so you're investing in your health. It's cheaper than your coffee habit, your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all these different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance solution. And it's got a ton of 5-star reviews, over 7,000 of them. It has been recommended by athletes, health experts, you name it. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/puck. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/puck to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right, last thing we're going to do on the show today is we are 8 weeks out from the trade deadline. I don't think that's the exact right, not like to the day or anything like that, but we're roughly 8 weeks out from the trade deadline. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at every team and say, buy, sell, or stand. That's it. Okay. Easy. The Tampa Bay Lightning, buy, sell, or stand.
I would sell. I don't think
it's... That's right. Yeah, they're first in the league right now. We're going by pure points, not by points percentage, because I clicked on the wrong column. So this is what we have to live with.
If you're Tampa, you buy if you can afford to. It doesn't look like they can afford to, but we've thought that in the past. And Julian Breezeball is doing the whole we have no cap room thing, but a lot of people aren't buying it because they're one of those teams that when everyone else is complaining about how hard it is to be a GM, they just seem to find a way to do things.
Yeah, they're going to trade for Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
No problem.
Exactly.
Alex Killorn and Brian Elliott.
And we'll launder Pat would fix those Oilers up real good.
And we'll launder Draisaitl through Detroit and Seattle. Mm-hmm. Just whatever. That's fine. Next up, Florida Panthers. I don't know if there's a harder buy in the league than the Florida Panthers. Like, this is it for them.
Whatever you can do, man. This is, you haven't won a playoff series in 25 years. Plus, you've got an amazing team. Buy.
Yeah, and like they have some clear areas of not need, I would say. They'd probably like some help in net if they can get it. Whether they can, who knows. They'd like to add on the blue line, I'm sure.
Would you trade Spencer Knight if you were them? I mean, you'd need a lot.
No,
but if
I would
get like a veteran goalie and something to help you elsewhere.
I think Elliot reported that they're interested in Jacob Chychrun. That's at least the kind of guy you can have a conversation about because he's so cost controlled and that kind of thing. But like Arizona doesn't have a goalie to give you, you know? So yeah, that would be a tough sell for me. I think I do, you know,
that's just where it gets tough. Cause you would like some more stability in goal, but if you're not going to move Knight, You can't move Bobrovsky. Is Knight, would you be able to send him down?
Yeah, Knight's waiver eligible.
Okay,
yeah.
So I guess that would be the answer there. All right, well, that would work. But yeah, bye.
Next up, Carolina Hurricanes. Soft buy, I think. I think they don't need a ton of help. I think they're just good. Obviously, they'd like to add somebody if they can and you know, just get that extra little bit of depth as injury insurance and all that kind of thing. But yeah, they're great. They're a great team.
Yeah. I mean, it's, not sure what to tell you. We're going to get lots of, well, actually I think maybe even the next team is a little trickier.
The Nye Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real good team, but where you're at in the rebuild, is this the push forward season or is this the, let's see what this current core can do. And then,
yeah, I kind of lean toward the latter. Again, soft buy, like if you want to give up like a depth third pieces. Round pick for something, go sure. Nuts, go crazy.
Yeah, in fact, that can be a nice, you know, we always hear about, you know, again, GMs making their excuses, always, you know, we don't want to disrupt the room, we don't want to, you know, the chemistry. But a lot of times in sports, when you don't bring in anyone, that hurts the chemistry.
Yeah, everybody's looking around going, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, what did we just do? You know, everybody, you thought we were going to barely make the playoffs. We're playing 700 hockey and we don't get any help. And especially if the Carolinas and Washingtons or whoever are doing it.
Yeah,
I think that's me. Yeah, I think you got it right. You get a couple of depth guys, but this is not the year to be moving high picks and that sort of thing.
Yeah, did you see... Deadspin, if we want to call it that, had an article that was like, analytics can't figure out why the Rangers are so good. And it's like, there's an analytics called save percentage and, we cracked it. We put fucking it. Sherlock Holmes on the case. He got it and won. We don't need to, we don't need to really dig in. The Colorado Avalanche, sure. They'd love to add. Why not?
Yeah.
But I'm doing the finger thing that indicates money.
Well, I mean, yes, but this is, again,
they're creative. They're smart.
They're creative. They're smart. But also, you know, we did the Panthers, haven't won a playoff series in forever. We'll get to the Leafs in a couple. Colorado hasn't been out of the second round since 2001. Like, not even in the cap era. It's crazy. Right. They haven't even been to a conference final. I feel like we all love Joe Sakic, but at some point, do you not have to go a little? I mean, you're looking around. Vegas gets Jack Eichel in the middle of the year. Like, is there not any pressure to add? And I don't know what it would be other than maybe the goaltending, where you go, like, is this the team that goes out and gets Marc-Andre Fleury
right
to play against Vegas in the conference final? Or is this just me projecting what I would really, really love to see happen? Probably the latter.
Well, I'll give you the better Marc-Andre Fleury destination, and it's next up, the Washington Capitals.
Okay.
Their goaltending stinks. Like, Colorado is a Devin Dubnyk. It's not Devin Dubnyk. I always get them confused. Yeah. What's their goalie's name?
Darcy Kemper.
They're a Darcy Kemper injury away from, you know, they're going to make the playoffs, but if he gets hurt, and Darcy Kemper gets hurt a lot, so, you know, whatever. They're a Kemper injury away from real problems. The Washington Capitals are already
maybe a Darcy Kemper just playing like Darcy Kemper played this year in the playoffs away from real problems. But yeah, you're right.
Whereas Washington is already there. Their two goalies are bad. They were bad last year. Why would they be good this year? But this is a slightly better Oilers situation, where it's like you knew what these guys were. I don't know what you're so confused about here.
They've got the rest of the roster looks good.
Yep.
You're not on these Zach Vukali bandwagon here?
Let's put it this way. Compared with what they have currently,
maybe
I could be talked into it.
Yep. But Fleury would be good. And I'll just throw it out there, because we know NHL teams, they love the nostalgia. Braden Holtby,
probably, sure. He's out, yeah. Yeah,
probably
okay.
Could be head.
Oh, for sure he could be had. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, I guess we could have gotten to them a little bit later, but it seems like the Dallas Stars are cooked, right? Like, they played great last night and lost, but that's kind of what cooked teams do sometimes, you know?
This is Dallas. They are either on a 5-game winning streak or a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
All season
they're currently
long.
In a 3-game losing streak, but have lost four of the last five.
So they're going to lose two more. I will write about how they're definitely done this time, and then they're going to win six in a row.
Well, if they lose two more, I'm looking at their schedule right here. If they lose two more, their next two games are Buffalo and Detroit. If they lose two more, curtains. It's over. We're turning on all the lights.
That's right. Sabres, Red Wings, Flyers, Devils on the road.
Don't have to go home. Can't stay here. Yeah,
that's
they should trade everybody. They should fire the coach. All that stuff.
They have had a 4-game losing streak, a 7-game win streak, a 5-game losing streak, a 4-game win streak. Those last three were back to back to back, and are now on a 3-game losing streak.
And this isn't the first year they've done it either. They did it last year. You know, they're bad. The Toronto Maple Leafs. I'd love to see how they could figure a way to wriggle out of this jam cap wise, but they could use some help. Sure, why not?
They could. Yeah, I
much like the Rangers, add some depth. You'll be feeling good about yourself.
Add some depth, or, you know, could they be in the mix for a bigger defenseman that you know, could play a little higher up there? By higher,
there's no bigger defenseman than Zdeno Chara.
That's true.
Just something to think about.
He's good.
He's going to bounce around that whole division by the time he's done. So
they've been in the Klingberg discussion, which everyone assumes that if you're Dallas, you're going to get more by trading him to a team that's going to re-sign him, and that clearly wouldn't be the Leafs. They can't.
Yeah, no, of course not. He wants $8 million a year almost. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, I think he's a good player, but, like, come on, man.
I think
we talked about this last week.
If Arizona's willing to eat half of a Jacob Chychrun salary, then that's where, as the Leafs, you get really interested.
Oh, my God. If you could get Jacob Chychrun for the next 3 years at, like, $2.5 million, fucking forget about it.
Teams. But I also think the bidding on that would be wild. And Toronto has got... Like, they're okay as far as prospects. They've got, you know, some decent ones, but it's not great. and their first round pick is not going to be a high. Like, I just don't see them outbidding teams. And, you know, we saw last year they went aggressive at the deadline and it just did not work in more ways than one. So, but yeah, they'll clearly be buying.
Yep. The Pittsburgh Penguins.
It's Brian Burke, baby. Ron Hextall,
You can't not. You can, again. This is maybe
Sidney Crosby. You gotta.
Yeah, you gotta roll out the carpet for somebody again. Like you gotta be a little creative. Let's say.
Yeah.
But there's no reason they shouldn't be buying, especially because again, like they can turn Evan Rodriguez into a borderline all-star kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. Like they can do it with anybody. So just go out and get like a. You know, a middle six guy or whatever, and off you go.
Interesting thing with the Penguins is if we were, you know, talking about this 3 months ago, we would have said, yeah, that's the team that's going to need a goalie in the middle of the season.
Yep.
That's the team that's going to be in on Fleury. That's the team that's going to be in on Holtby or whatever else. And now it's like, oh, maybe not. Maybe they're okay.
Yeah, Tristan Jarry looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Can't, you know, he's an all-star. You can't complain. The St. Louis Blues. All-star. Now, this is interesting.
This is where we get into some of these get a little tougher.
Yep.
Like, yeah, big surprise that best eight teams in the league should all be buyers. St. Louis. Right. So the last team other than the Lightning to win a cup. What do you do?
Yeah, they're an interesting team just because, like, they're good. They're unequivocally just plain old good. They kind of bad on the road for one thing, which is interesting. They're dead even 500 on the road this year, which is wild. You know who else is, by the way, is the Florida Panthers. They're 5-5-5 on the road. But anyway, you know, the
and
Blues,
like 37-1 at home, and we're just right. Like, oh, that doesn't seem very balanced, but okay.
Yeah, the Blues are 16-4-2 at home as well. The thing with the Blues is obvious holes in the roster. A guy who, as far as I know, still wants to be traded out of St. Louis.
That's the question. You know,
so, like, if you're making a pure hockey trade where you're, like, getting quality for Tarasenko, is that something? Maybe. But also, like, you know, they clearly want a defenseman. And they've been connected with Ben Chiarot for weeks now, and you know, if you want that to be your big, like, you're giving up a first round pick, well, I would couldn't be me, as they say. I would be not interested at that price point in a guy like that, because he's not good, Ben Chiarot. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting. They're a team where, like, they kind of should buy, but also, like, because this is the other thing. The best teams in the East are clearly the best teams in the East. The best teams in the West are, right now, by points percentage, the best teams in the West are the Colorado Avalanche. Fair enough. Everybody agrees that they would have been that all along, right? Mm-hmm. Then you got to drop way down to the Minnesota Wild, are the second best team in the West by points percentage.
The West,
and it's like, can the St. Louis Blues? Yes, that's exactly right. Can the St. Louis Blues get past the Minnesota Wild in a 7-game series? Yeah, they definitely can.
And, you know, we talked a little bit, but if I'm in that room, I'm sitting there going, man, there's a bunch of us here who won a cup not that long ago. Like, we want another shot. We want to take another swing at this, and I think you have to do what you reasonably can to give them that.
Yeah, I agree. Next up is Nashville. Speaking, you know, again, they're in the mix. You can't say they're not in the mix. They're fourth in the West by points percentage. It's mostly because of the goaltending, and you know, they have a couple of guys who are having really good offensive seasons. But, you know, they're a team. They go to overtime a lot, let's say, and they tend to win in overtime a lot, and is, you know, obviously they don't let you play 3-on-3 in the playoffs. I could see this going either way.
Yeah, this is the first team where I think you could make the argument that they're a little bit fake and should recognize that. But also, who's the GM in Nashville? David Poile. You think David Poile's looking to do a 5-year rebuild, or do you think he wants to, you know, going on 40 years as a GM in the league with no cup? Come on. Like, he's going to buy if he can buy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And again, should he? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But, like, I you know, this is one of those situations where if they're still fourth in the West at the end of the season, I don't know how – or, you know, at the deadline, I don't know how you'd sell to the fans, like, you know what, we actually kind of suck, though. Like, intellectually, I understand that, but, like, as a guy who's, like, also has to keep in mind the business aspect of the game, less so.
And the thing that really complicates that whole situation is Philip Forsberg, where – he's a UFA at the end of the year. So if you don't sell, you're stuck because it's going to be tough to bring him back. Maybe they can. Maybe they can even re-sign him before the deadline and take the question off the table. But it's going to cost you a lot to do that.
And so, it's going to be another one of those classic commitments of, we're giving this guy a shitload of money into his mid-30s. And we, the Nashville Predators, have never been bit on the ass by that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know?
So next up, the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't think they can buy. They'd love to be able to.
They will. They'll find a way. That's the what Vegas does. Yeah, I
think with this, you can at least make the argument of the guy we bought was Jack Eichel.
Yes.
Have you heard of him? He's been our number one center for the last 4 weeks. By the time the deadline gets here, and he's kicking ass, probably.
Yep. So they're. They're done. They are completely capped out. In fact, they're beyond capped out.
Yep.
They have no room at all.
So, they have to make a trade to get Eichel on the roster.
Exactly. So
guaranteed.
Congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights on acquiring Thomas Hertl. And
that's right.
Just being like, screw you.
We Marc-Andre Fleury back.
Yeah. They'll play with eight guys for 2 weeks, and it'll be fine.
And win, like Tampa did last night. Oh, yeah, we have 16 guys on the roster. Victor Hedman is going to play 58 minutes. He's going to score 4 goals. Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable. Anyway.
Yep.
The Minnesota Wild, heavy buy.
Heavy
These guys,
buy, but it's got to be rentals because...
It has to be rentals, correct.
The cap Armageddon from those buyouts hits not this year, but next year.
The year after, yeah.
And then you're screwed. You're eating, what is it, like $11 million in dead cap?
Oh, it's more than that, isn't it? Isn't it 13 or something?
It's really bad.
Now I got to look.
So, yes, you absolutely, short-term rentals, get in there. Because this could be the chance.
It's 12.7 next season. Then it goes up to 14.7 for 2 years. Holy shit, man.
Insane. Insanity.
That's bonkers. And they made that thinking, well, by then, the cap will be up like $4 or $5 million. Well, bad news, folks.
But they didn't, though. Like, this was only like last offseason that they did this.
Yeah,
like, they knew it wasn't going to be up. You're right. They probably thought back then that it was going to be a little bit better. But this wasn't like one of those decisions back in the day where we all thought the cap would be $90 million by now. This is just...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Crazy 14.7 and change. Holy shit, man. All right, next up we have the Boston Bruins. Gotta buy. They have to buy.
Yeah,
they have to buy.
The Bergeron, the window's closing. The Bergeron Tuukka Rask era could be coming to an end. These guys have absolutely earned the right to gear up for another big swing. And I wrote this week, man, that we're all looking at the Atlantic, and it's Toronto, Tampa, Florida, Toronto. Like, would anybody be remotely surprised if Boston comes out of that division?
At this point, I would.
Would you? Like, I'm not saying they're the favorites, but could you not see them in the conference final, and we're all like, yeah, it was Boston. Why weren't we talking about these guys more?
Right.
Especially if Rask can be good again, although
last night
was not good.
Again, like, this is a team I've been, like, wish-casting Thomas Hertl to for months.
Makes
like,
a lot
I,
of sense.
You know, oh, my God. That would rock. That would be so good, especially if they get David Krejci back next season somehow. Forget it, man. That would be so cool. Again, just like, Hurdle's just, like, such a likable player, you know? And mm-hmm. and the Bruins, say what you want about the Bruins, they are usually pretty heavy on likable centers. David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron, etc. So let's continue the grand tradition. Next up, the Los Angeles Kings. Now, this is very interesting.
Yep.
They should sell. They should be selling on everybody they possibly can, because they're probably going to make the playoffs either way. At this point, it kind of feels like, but like, if you can get someone to take Dustin Brown off your hands, if you can get someone to take the last 2 years of Jonathan Quick's contract, look, they're having, Jonathan Quick's having a great year. I don't know so much about Dustin Brown, but Jonathan Quick's having a great year. If you can get the Oilers to take the last year of that contract, then you know what? Hell, we'll even retain some salary on that one for you. Why not? Go for it.
Quick, I would agree. Brown, I don't know that you get a ton for him. And
no, sure. But like, his age, get a fifth-round pick or something.
Yeah. I think if it's a fifth-round pick, then there's something to be said for just letting a guy a lifelong king. But yeah, Quick, I mean, especially because that Cal Peterson contract kicks in next year.
Next season.
It ain't cheap.
Can't be spending $10.8 million on goaltending if you're the Los Angeles Kings.
Wouldn't think so. So yeah, but other than that, the Kings, again, this has been a classic rebuild. They've done it well. They've got some good pieces. Let's see if we can get into the playoffs. Let's see if we can get some playoff experience for some guys. I don't think it's a hard sell.
No, for sure not.
I do think Quick, maybe you move him if you can. Certainly if a team like Edmonton gets desperate and, Ken Holland realizes I'm going to get fired unless I can bring in somebody with some cup rings, then,
work with Duncan Keith. Why wouldn't it work now?
Exactly. But other than that, I'm happy to sort of, even maybe bring in a little bit of veteran depth just to try to get a push, get some experience.
Next up, we have the sliding Anaheim Ducks, 2-6-2 in the last 10. They're, I think, no longer in a playoff spot. They still are technically third in the Pacific, but not even by points percentage anymore. The Calgary Flames are second by points percentage, or tied for first by points percentage. Good Lord, that's crazy. And San Jose is even ahead of the Ducks. So I think now is absolutely the time to sell. If you're the Ducks, you're like, hey, we tried. It didn't work out so good. That's life. We didn't think we'd be good this year anyway. We're going to sell a bunch of tickets with Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale and all those guys down the stretch, but just didn't work out. And they also have to make some very difficult UFA decisions. Ricard Raquel this summer. Ryan Getzlaff, obviously, like, he's probably not going to go anywhere. He's got a full no move, but he'd be
a hell of a rental.
Both Josh Manson and Hampus Lindholm are up this summer. Yeah. So
it was like Josh Manson's been on the block for years, and you always said, well, yeah, but he's got years left on the contract, and now he doesn't.
I mean,
I think with Anaheim, what you do is you wait a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then the answer will be clear at that point. We can see the direction this is headed, and I think you do. You move the unrestricted guys, and then that's probably all you do. That's enough, and then you keep building around it, and you got a real good rebuild going.
Yeah, there are a couple of guys on that roster where, again, like, if you're keeping them, you're extending them basically till their Ryan Getzlaff's age almost, right? At that point, so are those guys going to be part of the solution when you're ready to actually compete in the Pacific 2-3 years from now? Maybe, but they're certainly not going to be worth the money, I would think. So, sell them now. Why not? Next up, San Jose Sharks. Sell everybody. The Sharks are bad.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. I mean, the argument would be that this is a very old team, an overpaid team, and they're in the playoff mix, so you just double, triple, quadruple down on your previous bad bets. But
I
would not.
If you're not going to sell, you obviously can't buy. You stand pat.
Yeah. And you know, the question is, you know, who do you sell? Because all the other than Hurdle, which I think is
Hurdle's their only UFA of any note.
Yep.
With all due respect to Jacob Megna, it says here. Yeah.
Andrew Cogliano.
Yeah.
But
still in the league, Andrew Cogliano. Good for him.
All these guys, like all the guys that you think of as big, expensive names, Carlson, Burns, Vlasic, Couture, they've all got not just term left on their contract, but
big money too.
A ton of term. Burns has got, not counting this year, three additional full seasons left, and he's the first of those to expire.
Yeah,
Carlson and Couture both have the dreaded red arrow on the cap friendly page to show
you don't
want to
be involved with the red arrow.
That's a bad arrow.
Let me ask you this: do you deal Timo Meier, who's already 25 and signed for this season and next, at $6 million?
You could get a ton for him.
Oh, he just scored 5 goals, folks.
Yep. The other guy on the Sharks that would be interesting would be James Reimer. Because he's playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the reason they're even remotely in the playoffs.
Yeah. And there's lots of teams, and he signed through next year, but he's cheap. There's teams out there that could use a goaltender, and, you know, I don't think anyone is lining up to get James Reimer. I don't think anyone has him at the top of their list in a market where there's Fleury and guys like that. But if I don't get number one or two on my list, I could do a lot worse than spending $2 million on James Reimer having a real good season. And you know, I'd give up something for that. And that's one that makes a lot of sense for the Sharks, because they're not very good this year, and I don't think anyone expects him to be really good next year, and then he's a UFA after that.
Next up, we got the Calgary Flames. Another interesting team insofar as they are looking at some iffy cap situations this summer. They got to re-sign Matt Tkachuk, who's a RFA but arbitration eligible. That is an interesting wrinkle. Then you got Johnny Gaudreau, who's a pending UFA. Mm-hmm. Then you have like half your defense, but nobody you're super like excited about.
Somebody will always trade for Eric Gudmundsson. There's never a shortage of that. That market is always there.
But here's the thing. I said it earlier. They are tied for first in the Pacific by points percentage right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can sell, even if it makes sense to do it. I think, you know, like, again, if somebody wants to make a hockey trade for Johnny Gaudreau, that's a little different than just like getting a first round pick for him. But like, I think they have worked themselves into a position where like they kind of can't do what they should do, which is sell everybody.
Yeah. Well, and the flip side of that is, until last night beating the Panthers, they had lost 4 straight in regulation.
They've been on a slide for like almost a month. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been their third win since the first week in December. And obviously the COVID delays are part of that. But this is another one where the answer might be that you wait a few weeks and the answer becomes clear. I get the sense that they're going to re-sign Johnny Gaudreau. Like, I don't think this is a one where he's necessarily on his way out. And you got
they have a ton of cap space next season. It should be said they have the money to spend if they want to.
Piece I would say is that if they were to not make the playoffs, which is certainly in play.
It's in the realm of possibility, absolutely.
Like, Brad Treliving has got to be getting into a hot seat situation if he's not already soon enough, because
he's been
there a long time.
Yeah.
It's not really happening.
The other thing with Gaudreau is he might not want to stay.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to trade him in the media for like 4 years.
Yeah. So you got to find out, and you got to hope that they know that already. And I know everyone always says, oh, we're not going to talk contract during the year. Yes, you are. Everybody does.
You'll at least have the temperature of that for sure.
And yes, certainly if he has said, you know what, I'm going to go to market and I'm going to see what I can get somewhere else and finally go to the Flyers or whatever else, then yeah, you do consider moving him. But it is a kind of a tough sell. You know, the other piece I'd say, though, and I, you know, I say this every year, if you're moving a guy like a Gaudreau or, you know, who has somebody on an expiring deal, there's no law that says it has to be for a first-round pick or it has to be for some prospect who's 2 or 3 years away. Call up teams and say, I want a young player who's going to play for me right now and step into his spot in the line.
No, absolutely. Like I said, nobody's, hockey trade.
Yeah, nobody's giving you like an 80-point 22-year-old for your 80-point 29-year-old, but you know, you can get somebody who can step in and you can say, look, we're not giving up on the season. We've got one eye on the future, but we're still... you know, or you trade them for picks and then you flip some of those picks for immediate help. There's ways to do it, but yeah, we'll see.
Let's see here. Next up is the Detroit Red Wings. Sell. Easy. Nothing to even discuss. You sell.
You sell. I mean, I think the thing to discuss is they don't have a ton to sell.
Right. You sell where you reasonably can, obviously. Like, they, you know, they're in a position
Nick Leddy,
where...
If you can get anything for him, go ahead. Mark Stahl, if you can get anything for him. But other than that, no, you've got a good rebuild going here. I don't think Thomas Greiss gets you into the goalie market, but you've got a good patient rebuild happening, and you just kind of... You keep
stay
riding
the course and maybe see if anybody wants Tyler Bertuzzi. Let's see. The Winnipeg Jets are next up here. Tough road for them back into the central playoff picture. They're at best a wild card team, it feels like, but they're in a situation where they just changed their coach and maybe they want to kind of stand pat a little bit. I think standing pat maybe makes the most sense. I don't know that they have a ton of guys.
I don't see anything here that's going to be a great move. I don't think you necessarily want to take a step back when you do have three or four really good forwards in their mid-20s.
Best goalie in the world.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where you go, let's do what we can this year. If there's a, you know, specific piece of depth that we can bring in, maybe we do it, but then you just reset and go into next year. And plus, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff, not exactly the most active trader out there. He's been, you know,
that's
a little
right.
bit lately, but he's not a guy who loves to wheel and deal. So I think this is a stand pat.
Yeah. Let's see here. The Vancouver Canucks sell everybody if you can.
Yeah. You would think, that would make sense.
They're in an interesting position, let's say, because they don't have a ton of UFAs.
Well, you know what else they don't have? Is a general manager. So
that's true.
That seems like the first piece you want to do. And then, then you got to figure out, I don't see anyone on the UFA list that is getting you anything. They've got to figure out the Brock Besser situation, but that feels doable. And I don't see anyone that you would necessarily want to get rid of that's having the sort of year where you're going to get, you know, nobody's talking themselves into two more years of Tyler Myers, I think. And there's Oliver Ekman-Larsson with the dreaded red arrow. That's not happening.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do if you're Vancouver.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess you look at, do we want to be in the Brock Besser business for the next 8 years? I guess that's the only question you really have to answer.
Right. Which isn't one that you have to answer this season. You can punt that to the offseason. He's still team
control. Yeah, he's a pending RFA.
If Jim Benning were still the GM, then it probably becomes a buy just because he's trying to protect his job. But the new guy coming in, like we said with Montreal, whoever comes in is
going
to have a little bit of a leeway. So,
okay, here's an interesting one next up. The Edmonton Oilers. I think they got to sell. Oh,
no.
Okay.
Buy hard.
You buy hard.
Wait. Yeah. Or you trade Leon Draisaitl. I think that's the
that's right.
option. Yep.
Yeah.
And get some toughness.
That's right.
Get some guys who are tough in the corners and tough in the press conferences. Don't wilt under the questioning of Hall of Fame.
That's right. The withering machine gun fire questions from Mark Spector.
That's right.
Yeah, the Dallas Stars sell. We already said it. They're not gonna make the playoffs. Let's be honest. And you know what? This is a classic situation of we went deep into the playoffs and it tricked us into thinking we should be trying to compete. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have been this whole time.
The interesting thing with Dallas, and yet you're right. This is one like we've had a few of these teams where we go, you look at the roster. I don't really see anyone that makes me. Klingberg, they will get plenty for. Mm-hmm. Braden Holtby, they could probably get from somewhere. Something from somebody. I don't think you're going to get a ton. The interesting one is Joe Pavelski. Last year of his deal.
Oh, my God. And he's been so good the last two seasons. It's unbelievable at his age to be this fucking good.
And, you know, he's got the modified no trade, but 37, no cups. I can't imagine he's turning down. I shouldn't say that because in COVID times, you never know what somebody's situation is. But if there was ever a guy who you think would go to management and say, send me to any contender, I'm ready to go, you got to think it's him. Who can fit him in at $7 million? Well, you know, some teams could. Who could fit him in at 3.5 if you retain, which you should? Probably quite a few teams would talk themselves into that, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at their cap friendly page right now. As best I can tell, Dallas does not have any retained salary, which is important because remember you can only retain on
up to three
at a time.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'd retain on Pavelski, Klingberg, and even Holtby if somebody wanted them. Doesn't cost you anything after this year. Get some assets. I think that's the right call.
Yeah. I don't think there's an easier call on this list. But next up, Chicago. Well,
except that they're one 4-game winning streak away from being right back in the mix, and then it's and then who knows?
Yeah, Chicago. What do you got? What do you think they're going to do?
I mean, I think the thing with Chicago is not whether you sell; it's who do you sell and how aggressive do you get. I would certainly
everyone and extremely. That would be my answer.
Well, my question would be like, are you open to taking calls on Patrick Kane?
Mm-hmm. I sure
Jonathan
am.
Taves. Yeah.
Yes. I, both
you are. Alex DeBrincat, like his name is starting to come up.
Yep. And it's a yes. It's a yes for me, man. Like, so much of their success is predicated on guys who are Kane and Taves' age or older, right? Like, mm-hmm. over the years. Like, those were the young guys on those teams. Those guys are now 33 years old. Kane's coming up on being, Taves is coming up on being 34. Kane is the younger one. And by the time you're any good again, you don't have a first round pick this year, unless you finish in the top two, I guess, which isn't outside the realm of possibility. And in fact, the league will probably make sure it's not outside the realm of possibility.
But if you do, then you lose your first round pick next year. So
yeah, and next year is the better draft, by the way.
Right, and you would not be able to win the lottery next year, even if so. It's
I would be like, again, like you just send out the email to all 31 other general managers and you say, fellas, you call me on literally anybody you want.
Mm-hmm. And
there is nobody on this roster or in our prospect pool who is untouchable.
Yeah. And I guess that the other two names would be, please, please trade Dylan Strome. You know, that clearly,
that's still going.
He's viewed as a bust given who he was drafted around, but this is still an NHL player. If there's not
fair, a spot good in player, Chicago. And especially a good player if you actually like want to see him succeed, which I don't know that you can say has been the case for his last two coaches. So,
and then Fleury, I think certainly you move Fleury, but you work with him to some extent to make sure that, you know, he's good with
see if
where
he wants
going.
To go to Edmonton. Before you send him there, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, that's...
He's only got 10 teams he can say no to, by the way.
Imagine they traded him to Edmonton for, like, a first round pay, and he just retired. He was just like, no.
Fuck
no, thank you. Yeah. And Edmonton's like, we want to undo the deal. And the league was like, well, you can't. That's it. You just gave your first
round
pick up.
Tough noogies, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, yeah, easy call on them. Columbus, another one. I think it's, you know, what is interesting is that they have Patrick Laine coming up as an RFA. And Elliot reported this morning, do they want to do it? Not so sure. That's interesting. Yep.
Again, RFA, so you can punt into the... Because I don't think anyone is looking at Patrick Laine, the season he's had, and saying, like, this is our big ad for the deadline to come in. But yeah, certainly somebody would talk themselves into it. Max Domi's been
points
okay.
He has been. 13 points in 17 games for Laine A on a kind of dead-end team. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Feels like he's been around forever, right? He doesn't turn 24 until mid-April.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how he is, like, he got drafted with Auston Matthews, and he's like 6 years older than Auston Matthews now. I don't know how that.
Both older happened. And younger, though, because I feel like he also hasn't been in the league as long as Auston Matthews.
Hasn't been in the league as long. Auston, but they're both going bald. Which
oh, absolutely. Is throwing me good off. For them.
And yeah. The other thing with Columbus, I think, is obviously they're looking to trade Korpisalo. And then the question would be, both Jacob Voracek and Gustav Nyquist have term left on their contract. Can you wiggle out of that? Do you want to? I mean, like, if you're rebuilding, you do need some guys to play. You don't want B-minus prospects getting pushed up to the first line and getting overwhelmed. Right. But I think you're certainly... You're happy if you get a phone call on either of those guys, but I don't know that you will.
Yeah, and they're also already looking at having two probably top 10 picks in this year's draft, which is a pretty good... I said next year's is a better draft. That's not to say this year's isn't a pretty good one. It is.
No, you're happy to have that because they are the team that's got the Chicago pick.
Yep. Philadelphia, sell. Sell everyone. They they stink. They're bad. You know, you're going to be able to get something for Claude Giroux. I don't know, from, you know, people are saying, like, more, we're hearing it more and more, folks, him to the Wild. I think maybe that only makes sense if you're convinced he can still be a center. I'm personally not. But we'll see. And then obviously the other guy they'd love to get out from under is Rasmus Ristolainen, who is, his deal's expiring this year. He's bad. I don't know who's,
but this who's is
talking themselves
it's,
into
it's,
that one.
Well, Chuck Fletcher did, and he's still the GM. So that would be, you know, he's got to be a guy who's on a bit of a hot seat. And do you make that move knowing that it's an admission that you've majorly screwed up in the offseason?
I think the standings are the admission that you majorly screwed up in the offseason. Like, they're
very
awful.
Fair point. Yep. Very fair point. And, I mean, if you can get Van Riemsdyk's got a year left, you know what they should do?
That's
trade
it?
Van Riemsdyk.
Wow.
Trade Van Riemsdyk to, well, a year left after this year. So
yeah, no, I knew what you meant, yeah.
Trade him to Seattle. Trade him as like a do-over for Seattle, who can't score and didn't take this guy. Retain some salary. Let's put the timeline back to what it should be like.
Yeah. I mean, they're an interesting team. Like, they have some guys teams would want. Like, a team would talk themselves into Travis Sanheim. Christ, team would probably talk themselves into Ivan Provorov if you really wanted to get wacky.
Here's
got
a fun
term
one.
Left, but
that somebody had asked me about, and I'll just throw it out there. Could you? If you were the Philadelphia Flyers, think about moving Sean Couturier, who is in the last year of his contract, but already has an extension, a real big extension. And the reason it came up is somebody asked me, if you're Philadelphia, could you trade Sean Couturier and retain salary only on this year, but not on the extension?
I believe that is how that works.
You can't. I initially said, no, that's not how it works. And then I checked with the Cap Friendly guys, and they said that actually you could. So you
could. Yeah, because,
you could go to other teams. He's got no move or anything like that yet.
No protection,
And say, you can have him for $2 million this year. We'll retain, and then you've got the extension, and move on from there.
Oh. Now, would I want to be taking balls, on... But, now, would I want to be taking on a guy who just signed an 8-year deal for 7¾ million With trade protection. Oh, only
I don't know.
Trade protection. Oh, no, which, full no move. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Full no move, which now would follow him. That they got
right. Yeah, of course.
Where you can drop that. Yeah, I wouldn't, but you know what? Which GM am I? How hot is my hot seat? I don't know. Or again, like a team like, would a team like Seattle be interested in a guy like that? I don't think you're getting a ton for him, but you know, Seattle, Ron Francis and his precious weaponized cap space that he keeps promising to use. Here's a chance. Maybe you could use it. I don't know. I just found that interesting. It was one of those where, like, it made me do that meme face where I was like, no. And then went, like, wait a second. Maybe?
All right.
But
no, and then,
but maybe.
Last but certainly not least, the seven worst teams in the league, the Devils, the Islanders, the Buffalo Sabres, Seattle, Ottawa, Arizona, Montreal, sells across the board, obviously.
Yes, sells across the board. The Islanders are the only one there that is sort of interesting, not in the sense that I would ever say they should buy, but that they're the one team in that group that didn't think they would be. Well, I guess Montreal didn't think they would be there, but
no, they sure didn't.
That nobody thought would be there.
Someone's going to talk themselves into Cal Clutterbuck is worth it. Maybe someone takes a flyer on Zach Parise at $750,000.
Could Chara move?
Could Chara
move? Obviously, he kind of depends on what he wants.
I don't think he has no movement protection.
I don't think you move him without talking to him, but
of course, you owe him that, sure.
Like, I'll tell you right now, I could absolutely see a team like the Leafs being like, this will be our guy. And then watching him just get turnstiled. But and I'll also say Cal Clutterbuck. We always talk about this time of year. It almost never happens. I could absolutely see him being the guy that gets traded, goes somewhere, and comes back as a free agent in the offseason and signs for another couple of years. That absolutely makes a lot of sense. Other than that, though, I don't know. Who do they have that there's not a lot here that
here's an interesting one. Semyon Varlamov.
That's what I was about to say.
Got a year left after this one, but you know,
Colorado, back home,
and he's having, you know, he hasn't played a ton, but he's having a perfectly good year. He's 9-17 in only 11 games. I don't know his injury status off the top of my head.
Teams love reunions. He played last night, so teams love reunions, and his two former teams, Colorado and Washington. Teams that we talked about.
Let's go. This is an easy one. Again, like that's a situation where probably Lou would have to retain, and one wonders if that's one of those things where Lou's like, I will never retain salary. You know, like I could definitely see that being a Lou Lamoriello thing. I can't think of anybody he's retained salary for off the top of my head. So, but yeah, that's it. Everybody else, you know. We don't have to dig into it too much. You'd sell everybody who's not nailed down. But that's it. That's the whole league. So we're done.
Yep.
No more show.
There you go. Sorry that we spoiled the trade deadline for you, but
yeah, we're just that smart, folks. That's it. It'll be interesting to see how things develop over the next 8 weeks, just because there were, as we said, so many teams are kind of like, well, you know, if they win four in a row, they'll talk themselves into it. And if they lose four in a row, they'll be like, ah, fuck it. Forget it. We're done.
Yep.
And, you know, that's very conceivable that a bunch of teams like Vancouver or Dallas or whoever is just like, you know what? Let's nuke it. We're done. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll go to the plugs now. If you want to see all my takes I had, I wrote a bunch this week. I had a college hockey and the Olympics thing that I wrote. I wrote about how the Stars are just like in a no-win situation. I wrote about the decision to hire Kent Hughes in Montreal. I'm going to write about, all kinds of different stuff around the NHL for Taketown later today. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And if you want to sign up for an annual subscription, the code ILOVEEP will get you an extra couple of months tacked on at the end there for free. So go for it.
And yeah, you can find me at The Athletic. My piece today was talking about how the conventional wisdom that you can't trade for a goalie in the middle of a season, and how that doesn't actually bear out when you look at the history. And I've got a ranking of 10 cap era mid-season goalie trades that worked out really, really well for the team acquiring the goaltender, and hopefully Ken Holland reads it.
That's right. Oh, and also, of course, check out the Puck Soup Patreon. We're about to go do a mailbag over there. And next week we'll have the listener-voted episode choice, and Stick to Soup is coming up later this week with me, Sean Gentile, and Greg Wyshynski, who you might have heard of. So, as always, plenty of content coming to you from our Patreon page. So check that out as well. And we're done. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.